Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well, Nate. How's our boy Steven?
He's dealing with the after effects of a car crash he had on Friday. And it's nothing to joke about. He had a bit of a, well, we think he had a concussion, and he's finally going to go to the doctor a few days later, and he didn't want to do that, but he's checking out the doctor today. Hopefully he's going to be okay, and we'll see him again tomorrow. But kind of scary stuff, Coach. I mean, we learn all about the effects of these things, and just like people playing football, he's got to take care of that, you know?
Absolutely. You know, that's you don't sneeze at that thing.
Yep.
You got to do it.
Yeah, well, so you're stuck with me all morning. I'm sorry about that. I apologize up front, Coach.
Yeah. Well, we're talking a lot of Kansas football.
No, we'll talk about all of it. There's three big games for all the local schools we got to get to today, so I'm excited to talk to you about all of them. And we'll start with the Missouri Tigers because they play the number two ranked team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs, at home. And it's the first game on the docket, too. 11 o'clock in the morning. They're 14-point underdogs in this game. And I'm just curious what you think of it. How do you like this matchup, and what do you think of the Tigers' chances in this?
Well, I'll tell you what, they got exposed last week a little bit in the secondary. And, you know, that was a lot of yards put on that team against Purdue. I know it was away from home, but that's a lot of yards. And, you know, you learn something every single game. And I'm sure that's what they're working on a lot this week, is trying to shore up that secondary or at least come up with some calls that's going to help them a little bit. You know, up front, the front seven are pretty solid. I mean, they play pretty solid run defense. But, man, they struggled in the pass. And so, but they had a great game. Missouri had a great game last week. And played well. I mean, offensively, they had a great game. You know, so Georgia is as worried about Missouri as Missouri is about Georgia. And the 10 o'clock start time, you know, it disrupts everybody a little bit. You got to get up earlier. You've got to, you know, the fans won't get in the stands until the last minute. You know, it doesn't quite have the same buzz that a game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 6 o'clock at night would. So, you know, I think that should play into them, play into their side a little bit in this game. You know, I know 10 o'clock is 11 o'clock to the Georgia people, but, you know, it's still an early start, and you're away from home and all those sort of things. So I think there's a little bit of help there, not much, but a little bit. Does it overcome 14 points? Probably not. You know, that's a lot of points, and that's a really good football team to play in. So Missouri's going to have to play. They're going to have to come up with some great stops defensively and in order to win this football game. And special teams have got to be almost perfect in a game like this. So we'll see what happens. But the 14 points is probably about right. You know, I think that playing at home helps them a little bit, and playing early probably helps them a little bit, where normally I wouldn't think it would, but I think it might this time.
So when you talk about that pass defense for Missouri, Coach Odom's been asked a lot of questions this week about the lack of pass rush in that game against Purdue as well, and it's kind of surprising to me to hear that, because Missouri for the past several years, they seem like they've always had a good pass rusher or two to get after the quarterback. But if you don't have that, it's kind of hard to manufacture, isn't it? I mean, tell me what you do if you're Barry Odom and your pass rush was kind of non-existent last week to try to get ready for this game against Georgia.
Well, you know, you find a way to bring more is what you do, and whenever you do that, you got two choices: you can bring it out of and play zone behind it, or you can bring it and play man behind it. You know, it just depends on how comfortable they are in man coverage. And if they're comfortable enough to where they can bring six guys, then maybe that's the way you turn out, that you do it, and you play man coverage behind it. You try to get the ball thrown as quickly as possible. And I think what hurt him last week is he had a lot of time. He could pick his receivers down the field, and that's, you know, you're rolling the dice if you bring six. But, you know, either way, you know, it wasn't productive for him last week, not putting that kind of pressure on him. So they got to make a decision. And you do every week in a big game like this. You've got to make decisions. And coaches normally err on the side of conservatism. And so, you know, and Barry's a defensive guy. And so, he, you know, you don't want to hang your corners out to dry, your safeties that are having to cover out to dry, meaning they get a lot of one-on-one all day chasing guys down the field. And the minute that happens, you know, if you break a run, those guys playing man coverage have their back turned to the football. And so, you know, you don't make your stop where you need to make it. So you don't get out of the series. You don't get, you know, third down stops. So it's a chess game, and you've got to cover up your weaknesses. But at the same time, you've got to find a way to help your weaknesses. And if they're not getting any kind of pass rush, then, you know, you got those two choices. And, you know, you bring 5-6, and heavens to Betsy, if you bring 7, you better hold on tight. So, but you got to, that's the choices that you make in your game plan. Well, you know, they practice it against all situations, what they want to do. And you'll see that, you know, sort of roll out during the process of the game.
We're visiting with Gary Barnett. Coach, you also mentioned that you like the front 7 of the Tigers against the run this year, which has got to be good news for Missouri fans, because last year when they played at Georgia, the Bulldogs won that one 53-28, and they ran for 370 yards against Missouri. Now, they had a couple NFL running backs that are gone now, but it seems like Georgia is one of those schools, they just crank out running backs, right? Like, it's still going to be a big challenge, isn't it, for them to stop the run of the Bulldogs this week?
No question. You know, and when you play Georgia, that's the biggest challenge, is always stopping the run. And but Missouri's better than they were a year ago, but this is going to be a tough game. I mean, you're playing the legitimate number 2 team in the country. You know, they were a playoff team a year ago. They didn't lose a lot of players from then. They, you know, a couple running backs, like you mentioned, but they've got a lot of players. So it's, you're just going to have to play and get some turnovers and avoid turnovers and be really solid on special teams and, you know, pick your poison at the right times when you bring pressure.
So you said you think that the 14-point spread's about right. What's your prediction? You think this is going to be a high-scoring game? How do you think this one's going to play out?
You know, I'm going to say this is going to be, you know, maybe 60 points scored in this game. That's where I don't call that high. I call 75 high or 70, you know, more than 70 high. But this is going to be mid-range, I think. I think Missouri's going to find a way to slow them down a little bit. But Georgia's got to find a way to slow Missouri down, too. It's got to work on both sides. So, you know, I see this as a 35-21 game, something like that.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see what happens. That's, of course, the first game on the docket, Georgia at Missouri at 11 o'clock on ESPN. Both KU and K-State play at 2:30 on Saturday. They're big games for different reasons. The Wildcats are 16-point underdogs at West Virginia, and Bill Snyder was asked about, you know, being that big of a dog, and he said, look, he's not upset with being a big underdog. He's upset with how they got to become a big underdog because they haven't played well so far this year. That was by his own standards. They are 2-1. But we have seen, Coach, that sometimes K-State can be a little slow out of the gate, and then they start to get better and better as they open up the offense a little bit. Do you expect that to be the case? Do you expect the Wildcats to play a little bit better on Saturday than they have so far this year at West Virginia?
Well, you know, I think it's more of a hope than an expect at this point in time, because they haven't demonstrated at this point in time that they can be that kind of team. You know, I do know that they're going to have to shorten the game and play Snyder football down there, because they're playing a really good offense. Not a great defense, but a really good offense and a really good player at the quarterback spot and the receiver spot. So, you know, I think they've got to frustrate West Virginia in this game. And they've done that in the past when they played. Bills found a way to shorten the game. And what happens when you're standing on that West Virginia sideline and Kansas State is just turning over first down after first down, but they're taking three plays to get the first down, and the clock's just ticking away, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating the coaches, frustrating the players. So they come out and they start trying to score fast, and you know they make a mistake. So I think that's what's got to happen. They've got to quit turning the ball over. Kansas State does. You know, it's so unlike them. I mean, they allowed, 17 first downs against Texas San Antonio, UT San Antonio, you know, and 285 yards passing. That's a lot. So, you know, they've just got to play better. I agree with Bill's statement. It's not so much being an underdog. It's why they're an underdog. It's because they're not playing the way that you normally see a Kansas State team play.
So West Virginia's quarterback, Will Grier, you talked about how good he is. 761 passing yards so far this year through just two games, 9 touchdowns and 1 interception. Is he a legitimate Heisman contender in your mind?
Yeah, I think he's, I think he's probably 5th down the road on that list. But with his schedule he's got coming up and playing the teams that he's going to play, I think he has a chance to move up that list and be a legitimate guy. I mean, they got to finish in order to win that award. You know, you got to maybe win that conference or finish second, and they just got to play better defense in order to do that.
All right, Coach, I wanted to ask you about West Virginia's preparation for this game because, you know, we mentioned it last week that they were scheduled to play North Carolina State, and the game got canceled because of the hurricane that was hitting. But they didn't know that until late in the week. So they spent the whole week. It wasn't like they got an extra week to prepare for Kansas State. Then they had to sit around and watch all the games last weekend. How do you think that plays into them preparing for this game? How will that affect them going into the K-State game in your mind?
You know, I don't think that's going to have that much effect. If anything, I think it's a little more positive for them. They got to be more anxious to play. They got to be, they've had some time. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it'll be for West Virginia, not being able to play is frustrating. So, it's in the long run, probably nothing, but it sounds good. As you're doing it.
So how do you see this one playing out, Coach? West Virginia, Kansas State.
I tell you, West Virginia is a hard place to play. And, Kansas State just hasn't shown that they can take that team and beat them. They don't, you know, offensively, they have got to be able to move the ball on that defense and stay up in a shootout. And, you know, they just haven't shown that they've been able to do it. So I got to think Kansas State wins this game. Excuse me, I'm sorry. West Virginia wins this game.
West Virginia wins it. All right, we'll move on to the third game of the local schools, Kansas versus Baylor. That's on FS1 at 2:30, and, of course, right here on Sports Radio 810 as well. Before we get into this game itself, Coach, you tell me how to process this. It's not just that Kansas has won a couple of games. That would be surprising enough to me, as we covered. I didn't believe you when you told me that they were going to beat Central Michigan. They didn't just beat them. They thrashed them 31-7. Then they turn around, they beat Rutgers. I don't know how bad Rutgers are, but for me, it's not just that Kansas won the game. They won 55-14, and they put up 400 rushing yards. These are things that I haven't seen Kansas do. Win a game is one thing, but to put another team to the sword is a completely different scenario. How am I supposed to process this, these results these last 2 weeks if I'm a Kansas fan?
Well, you know, smile a lot and take it while you got it. I think they got a legitimate chance this week against Baylor. They're running the ball. They're effective. Baylor's not a great football team. You know, Kansas gets 6 turnovers, two two pick sixes. That's pretty impressive. 22 first downs, that's pretty impressive, and that's impressive against tall grass. And I think they got a legitimate chance. The spread is what it was 9.5 last time I looked, or something like that, Baylor. But I'd say I would take Kansas and the points if I were a betting man.
Now, taking Kansas in the points is one thing, but do you think Kansas is actually going to win the game is the other question.
You know what? I'm going to pick them to win, too, because they're rolling. They're feeling confident. Before they had the big win against Central Michigan, we talked about how you just keep pounding the rock and go to work every day, and that's what they did. And then finally, somewhat of a breakthrough. They win this game, and you got to call it a clear breakthrough, mate.
Well, and it leaves you wondering, man, if they had Puka Williams in the first game of the year, could they be 3-0 right now going into this situation? That's water under the bridge. But it's been stunning to me how one player seems to have given this team a level of swagger that just wasn't there before. And maybe that's oversimplifying it. But he's been tremendous. I mean, he's been everything that the Kansas fans could have hoped he could be. Can a running back make that big of a difference for a team just by his presence on the field?
Well, if he's significantly better than what you had, yes. If it's just a little bit better, that means everybody else is better. And I don't know which one of those is true, but yeah, absolutely, he's a significantly better player. But my guess is he's a better player than who was playing there before, and everybody else is playing better.
You can't count on 6 turnovers every game, though, right? Like that. I mean, I know that's been great, but the thing that makes me more encouraged is, if, like you said, the first downs, running the ball, that they're doing some things along the line of scrimmage that tell you they can go win a game. They don't just have to rely. The turnovers have been great, but they've been doing some things that tell me maybe they can actually, if the game's even in giveaway takeaway, they might still have a chance, right?
Well, the numbers that they have and they've put up indicate that they're a pretty good football team. They're playing good football. They're not just getting lucky. 55 points is lucky to some extent. But, 22 first downs, 400 yards rushing, that's 544 total. That's good football.
Well, we'll see what happens on Saturday between Kansas and Baylor. I like it, Coach. You're telling me they got a chance to win this one again. I'm just trying to enjoy every minute of it right now. Let's talk about some other games around the country. There's not a ton of matchups between top 25 teams. One of the games, though, that I do find interesting is this Nebraska at Michigan game. That's at 11 o'clock. Nebraska's 0-2 to start the season. Michigan's 2-1. They came under a lot of fire after their loss against Notre Dame. What have you seen from Scott Frost at Nebraska so far? I know that, obviously you watched that Colorado game very closely. They lost last weekend against Troy with a walk-on quarterback out there. How should we look at, this first year under the helm of Scott Frost for Nebraska? Do you give them any kind of a chance going to Michigan this weekend?
Well, I think the key there is if Martinez plays. If he's healthy enough and can play, then they're going to have a football game. And if they don't, then Michigan's defense is going to really cause Nebraska problems. And but the difference maker is Martinez. And I don't know if he's going to be ready to play or not, but when they have him, they're a pretty good football team. They're not a great team, but they're a pretty good football team. But without him, they're a pretty bad football team. That's what it boils down to, and offensively. So it just depends on whether he plays or not. I think the spread's, 12 or 14, and I think that's probably pretty much right on, especially playing in Michigan.
Texas A&M's ranked number 22 in the country. They go to number one Alabama. They're 26-point underdogs. Any sort of a chance for the Aggies going to Alabama?
This is one of those games where I don't expect Alabama to stop trying to score points in this game. And so A&M's got some players. That quarterback's a heck of a player of mine. And, they play – you saw them play Clemson just in a great football game. So they have a chance, but not a great chance. I mean, you got to believe Alabama's going to unless they have a bad day and throw some picks. But there's with the quarterback Alabama's playing with now, they're at a different level than they've ever been, I think.
Wow. How about TCU at Texas? TCU's a 3-point favorite in that game. What do you think?
Well, I watched TCU, and they just melted against Ohio State last week. They had a chance to win that game. They were in control of that game. I think TCU beats Texas. They want to win that game more than any game they're going to play this year. So I see them winning that game.
In the Pac-12, number 7 Stanford at number 20 Oregon, and it's a 1.5-point spread last time I saw with Stanford as a slight favorite. That should be a pretty good matchup at 7 o'clock on ABC.
Yeah, and I don't know how to pick that one up because I haven't seen enough of Oregon. I've seen Stanford 3 times. The quarterback at Oregon, Herbert's been touted as a Heisman guy. So I don't know. I don't know which way to go. I sort of like Oregon's talent a little bit, but Stanford just – They're like Kansas State. They just eat the clock up and run the football and give you all sorts of problems. So this is a tough game for me to pick. I think you go with the underdog at home in a case like this, and that's Oregon.
How good is Stanford since you've seen them 3 times?
Because I think the Pac-12 is probably down a little bit, I think they're going to have a chance in that conference. But I don't think they're a great football team, but I think they're a good football team.
You're saying the Pac-12 is down. I find that interesting. I don't see many people touting the Big 12 as being great. The Big 10 had a horrible weekend last weekend. Obviously, everybody loves the SEC with the number 1 and 2 ranked teams in the country. Outside of the SEC, what conferences do you think are really good right now?
Well, that's hard to say. I don't see anything. The Big Ten has just fallen flat on its face. I mean, there's one team in the Big Ten right now, maybe two with Penn State, but there's Ohio State and Penn State. And, you got to hope or think somebody will come out of the Big 12, maybe Oklahoma. But, that conference looks like it's struggling a little bit as well. And then the Pac-12, I mean, maybe Washington, but it's not going to be a clear-cut favorite in that conference. So, the SEC West and maybe Georgia looks like the conference right now.
One play I wanted to ask you about, Coach, from last weekend, the fake fair catch that North Texas ran against Arkansas. What did you think of it?
Well, I thought it worked. You put a lot of those things in there, they don't work. That one worked. And what the heck? It was like the one at TCU. I don't know if you saw the play at TCU, but the receiver was laying down in the end zone. They couldn't see it. So he threw a throw. The one receiver caught it on the right side of the field, took a few steps, and threw it back. But he threw it forward. And it was a touchdown, but because he threw it forward, it didn't work. So, that one was a great play, but it didn't work. That one worked. So those, when you put those plays in, that's anything can happen.
See, I would just be scared to run that play because if they don't fall for it, you're a sitting duck,
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun weekend, Coach.
Have a courageous punt return.
Yeah, that's right. Courageous is one word for it. Hey, Coach, thanks so much for the time this week. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Nate. Give my best to Steven. Hope he's well.
I will. And I think he'll be fine. Hopefully he'll be here next week and we'll do it all again. There is Coach Gary Barnett giving us the rundown. He's got Georgia. He's got West Virginia. He's got Kansas. He's got Kansas taking on Baylor. We're going to talk with KU football coach David Beatty coming up on the show in a little bit. Shifting gears to the NFL with Michael Lombardi right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.